Blessed Keys. Blessed Keys. Presents. Voices.
Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks on this beautiful day that you have given to us. And we just thank you for another day of life. We also thank you for those that will be tuning in onto this podcast. And we are sure that whatever you bring forth, it shall not return to you void, but accomplish what you have set it out to be. I ask you to bless our guest today, Reverend Marlon Vandenberg, who's going to be giving her testimony. We just thank you, Father God, for her life. We thank you for the blessings that she has been to us and to this organization. And we give you all the glory today. In your holy name, God. Amen. Amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our next podcast. I'm excited to introduce today Reverend Marlon Vandenberg. She's going to be giving her testimony on her conversion from Jehovah's Witness to becoming a Pentecostal minister. So I would just like to welcome her in today and say hello, Reverend Marlon.
Hi. Good morning, Reverend Grace.
I love her. She is one of my most favorite people. I have to rave a little bit about her. I met her at Promised Land, and it has been a friendship that we have forged in the pandemic. And I'm just looking forward to hearing and others to hear your testimony today. So my first question, Reverend Marlon, is going to be this. How did you come to be a Jehovah's Witness?
Wow. Very interesting. As a little girl, I was along with my grandma, my paternal grandmother.
Yes.
And Jehovah's Witnesses used to visit her. And there was this lady, we live in the same proximity, and she used to come, she became a friend of my grandma's. And then she would come. My grandma got ill, and after she passed, this lady told my parents that my grandmother asked her to take care of me. They didn't question her. I didn't know better. I was probably between 10 and 11 then. And so I went and I lived with this lady. Oh, and wow. Miss Lily.
Miss Lily. Called
her, that was her name, Miss Lily. Wow. And I lived with her and I grew up as a Jehovah's Witness. A very ardent one too. You couldn't tell me otherwise.
Oh, I love it.
Very ardent. Yes, ma'am. So, you know, and I spent all this time in Jamaica as a Jehovah's Witness, and I enjoyed it then. I didn't know anything differently.
You did not know anything different. That's the truth.
Right. And because you see, we do house to house. We make, and that is how they came to my grandma's house, because I think, I don't know what they call it now, but then we call it back halls. That's where they come to your house and then they return for another visit. And so that's how I started.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So what was required of you? You know, I'm curious now that you say that, you know, because I know I've experienced Jehovah's Witnesses here at my door.
Right.
Did you have a certain quota that you had to reach or... How did that work? You know,
quota is dependent on the, if you are, they call it pioneer, whether you're full-time or part-time, you could say, I just want to do it for a month. And then you have certain things, certain books or Bibles or tracts, things that you have to give out for the month. At the end of the month, you have to report.
Wow, that's crazy.
What you do.
So from there, you grew up as a Jehovah's Witness.
Yes.
At a certain age, and then you came to America, correct?
Yes.
You did come, and how did you get to the States? Did you Did you marry someone that was living here? Exactly how did you?
No, I was married in Jamaica. I was married in Jamaica. But my sister was here. She lived in Queens. Her name is Faye. We just do her first name. And she sponsored my family and I. It's my husband, myself, and my son. And so we came here on Christmas Day, December 1980.
Wow.
It was the first time we were seeing snow. It was extremely cold.
Did you want to go back?
Oh, sure. My son said, Mommy, I need to go back. I don't like here because it was so cold. It was.
I can so, just imagine. Oh, my Jesus. Right?
Yeah.
You're going from that sunny with the, you know, sort of the waves lapping up against you, you know, with your toes in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get off the airplane and get a reality check, right?
Exactly. Got off at Kennedy Airport and, what's going on outside? My sister came running in with a coat and, okay, what's that, you know? Because it was so cold.
Oh, Lord. Yes. So where did you come to?
My sister was living in Queens at the time. So we lived in Queens for a while.
Okay. And then
yes.
Did you stay
my
there?
Husband,
Connecticut.
Yeah.
Okay. So Queens, you got where did
yeah.
you
Queens? Yeah, in Queens. And but my husband's family, they're in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so you went to Brooklyn afterwards?
Yes, we eventually moved to Brooklyn.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So tell us, I just want to give a bit of background on Reverend Mullen, just to interject here. She's a minister of COG over 20 years. She's been ministering for the Church of God. She's a member of Promised Land Church of God in West Haven. It's what 240 Burwell, in case you want to visit.
Yes.
And also she's a wife and mother and a grandmother. And I just want to give that background before we continue on so that you know who's talking to you. So you came here. Well, how did you get to Christ? How did you transition? Because you were a Jehovah Witness. So you were probably fully prepared to continue with your faith walk, and then suddenly you're not, or you know, how did that happen?
First, a strange thing happened that when I came here, I did not seek out Jehovah's Witnesses. I couldn't understand why, but I did not have that desire to.
Oh, wow.
You see, who knows the mind of God? We don't. So in Brooklyn, my sister-in-law, that's my husband's sister, and she got saved, and she asked me, she invited us. They were having a missionary service, and she invited me. Of course, Jehovah's Witnesses, we do not attend other services, other religious services.
Very strict, right?
Right. You can invite us. We won't come. We don't participate.
Wow.
We invite you to come because, you know, we are the truth. So you come to us, we won't go to you.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
Yes. And so she invited me. I thought about it long and hard. And then I said, well, if I go this once, I'll just get it off my back. So I said, okay, I'll come just this once. So I went. It was a missionary service. It was a Saturday, Sunday. My intention was only to be there the Saturday. I went. I was very, very skeptical. Mm. Everything was different. There were people knocking tambourines. There were drums. There were clapping. People were getting in the spirit, and they were jumping. And I'm looking around like, okay, I'm among some crazies here, you know? So I sat and I observed, and they had a woman speaker that evening,
mm-hmm.
and her message was, and we're talking about 1982,
Okay.
And it's just, it's in my brain. Her message was, occupy till I come, taken from Luke, I think Luke 19. I can't remember details of her message. But I do remember clearly, as if it were yesterday, on the rostrum, like you have visiting speakers, and then you have people on the rostrum, other members, or I didn't know who they were. But at the end of her message, you know, the pastor, he got up and said whatever he had to say. But then there was this other minister who came forward, and I know him as Pastor Baxter. He was from Canada, so he was one of the invited guests. And he said, speaking to the entire congregation, I have a message for you. You want to hear it? Come back tomorrow. That means come back Sunday.
Oh.
He's talking to me directly. He spoke that to the entire congregation. But then there was something. And now I know it's the wooing of the Holy Spirit. Because it was just, I need to go back to hear what this message is all about. Now, why would I want to go back? We don't go. We don't visit other people's self. I just went to get my sister off my back. And here I am. I can't get rid of it. I must go back. I thought about a bit like a Damascus Road experience with Paul.
Oh, yeah. You know? I love it.
I don't know why, but I just had to go back. I remember saying to my husband, do you want to go back and hear what this guy had to say? You know, but I was the interested one. He didn't go. He didn't.
So the typical man answer is no. No. What's
yes, better? Yes. Yeah. Yes. So I called my sister and said, okay, pick me up. I go.
Wow.
And I listened to the preacher. But this time, before I get to Mr. Pastor Baxter coming back, I would visit. I kept on visiting. I wouldn't participate, though. I kept on. I watched. I visit. But there was this pulling, this wooing. I just had to go back.
Wow.
I would, you know, go to Sunday service. I would go to midweek service. And I was there. And so a couple of weeks passed. And one Sunday morning, my sister, you know, she called me this Saturday night. And she said, they called me Betty. She said, Bet, guess who is here? And I said, I have no idea. And he said, Baxter. I said, what? This was the preacher who said, I have a message for you. You want to hear it? Come back tomorrow.
Wow. Wow.
And look at God.
That is so God.
And so I went, and his message was taken from John 4. It says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's my conviction, that God says, I must worship him in spirit and in truth. And this is why when it comes to his word and his work, it just does something to me. I can't fool around with God because I have met him. This is Paul. I have met him. He has said, whatever you believe otherwise, that was not it. But now you must worship me in spirit and in truth.
Wow. Wow. Powerful. That is just powerful.
Yes. And I also experienced that when I was at work, we were still in Brooklyn then, and you know, the songs or the scriptures or something that would come into my mind that day, and if I would be just humming a song, and I would go to church that evening, they would be doing the sad same thing, very same song or the very same scripture. I couldn't understand it. Wow. So it wanted me to dig deeper and deeper and say, God, what is it? Wow. So, and I was baptized in Staten Island River.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. Amen. Amen. Proud of it. Oh, praise God. Mm-mm. He's so good.
It was a steady conversion, Reverend Wallen.
Yes.
You notice, right?
Yes.
That kind of, yeah, you got to get taught. Yes, you got to, you know, but he already had claimed you.
Yes.
I feel like when you were speaking, like he had claimed, he had chosen you. And it wasn't like, oh, I have no choice. It was more of a leaning, a leading in yes. of the Spirit.
Yes.
Right? Because the Lord gives us free choice.
Amen. Right? Amen. So he puts and I had choice. I didn't have to go back that Sunday. I was already, my Saturday visit had satisfied it. And you got it. That was it.
But see the difference? He respects our the fact that he gave that to us, right? He's given us free choice, but yeah. then he presents it. The Holy Spirit presents it, what the blessing is. And you can choose to, again, you can reject it. That's your free choice. But if you have a heart for the Lord and he presents you with the opportunity of salvation, of knowing and being intimate with him.
Yes.
He presents it, but he also gives you the right and freedom to say, no, that's not for me.
Amen.
Because Amen. Then you suffer the consequences, right? When you live in sin, it usually leads to death. Amen?
Yes, amen. And I'll have to tell you this, what I remember. They used to have testimony services on Sunday nights.
Oh, wow.
And I remember this Sunday night, the lady conducting it, we called her, she was Mother Dawson. Because then as churches, you have mothers and so on, and she was Mother Dawson. Mother Dawson was doing her testimony, and I didn't know how long it was. But then the pastor said to her, okay, this is it, wrap it up now. And she said, it was so funny, every time I read it brings a smile. She said, Pastor Riley asked me to wrap it up, but I'm going to disobey him because there's a lady who has been coming here for so long and she's never said anything. I need to ask her tonight to say something.
Wow.
And then I told him from the beginning. And after I said that, the following week, there comes Reverend Baxter from Canada for another yes. visit. Now, is that coincidence? No, I don't believe it's coincidence.
Not at all.
Not at all. It's not coincidence. It is like what Jesus did with Paul. How he met him on the way. He was on the way to persecute the Christians. He wasn't thinking about Jesus, and Jesus met him. And then he had it all lined up. He had him, the others who were afraid of him, to minister to him.
Oh, yeah.
And then his assignment was go preach to the Gentiles.
That's right.
Yes. So Pastor Baxter came back. I gave him my testimony. And that Sunday, I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. And
oh,
he'll forever be. Do I have pushbacks? Well, I have families who are Jehovah's Witnesses, and they can't believe. I remember going to Jamaica for the first time. My mom started thinking I was still a Jehovah's Witness because I would write to her and I would be telling her about the Lord and so on. And she said, I thought you were talking about your Jehovah's Witness. And when I told my cousin, we were very, very close. We were like sisters.
Wow.
At one point, we lived together. And when I told her, she said, oh, so Marlon, what congregation do you go to? And I said, I don't go to congregation anymore. I'm a Pentecostal. Oh, you could blow her over with a feather. She could not believe. My sister was with me. She said, don't look at me. I'm a Catholic. I have nothing to do with it. She said, I have nothing to do with it, so don't look at me. And we really, so they didn't really, we don't talk.
Oh,
because
wow.
I know that closeness, they'll talk to my sister.
Yes.
But not me, because I'm no longer Jehovah's Witness. So I think that that is why, whether people are satisfied or not, mm-hmm. or they have, you know, questions,
yes.
you remain a Jehovah's Witness, because once you're not in fellowship with them, you're basically ostracized.
Wow.
You don't have that community of people anymore. Nobody talks to you. They don't even ask you why, you wow. know?
Wow.
So you just cut off. Put it that way. You just cut off. But I know I'm a product of answered prayer, because my mom never stopped praying.
That's right.
She was Pentecostal, and she never stopped praying for me, for all three of us. She has three of us. My brother, you know, he passed.
He passed, yes.
Yes.
But he also accepted the Lord.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
We saw that journey together.
Amen.
Your brother.
Amen.
And he went to be with the Lord.
So. Yes. In 2021.
Yes. In 2021. That was a very hard time.
Yes.
But, you know, there's always that joy of knowing that, you know, when a person is gone to the other side, that if they're saved, then there's always the joy of the knowledge. The pain of loss on yes. this side. But the joy of knowing that that person is, that you'll see that person again. That's always the excitement for me, you know.
Yes, yes. So you remember him with that joy and that fellowship that you had before. And
that's right.
You're not really sad.
That's
you
right.
You missed him, but you can talk about him. You can talk about things we used to do, things we said, etc.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
But, you know, because he said, and not to deviate,
yeah.
but shortly before he passed, we would talk every day. He would call me or I would call him. Then he called my sister. My sister, she lives in Maryland now. And he called me one day and he was just talking. It was all about Easter. And then he called my sister and she told me that he was singing, "I Know Where I'm Going." He said, "Do you remember what Mama used to sing these songs?" And
wow.
she said he kept, and she tried to steer him away and say, oh no, but she always sing this other one. And said, "Oh no, but I'm singing, I Know Where I'm Going."
Wow, that's beautiful.
And he passed shortly after.
Beautiful, beautiful. That's mm-hmm. the piece of it.
Yes.
If there's a piece around that mm-hmm. I always hold on to, and I believe God for, that if you're, and he wants us to be in alignment, because he wants none of us to perish.
But
none
of us. Yes.
So he's always trying, he's always pursuing us, right? He says that he always leaves a 99 for that one straggler, I call it, because he is such a loving God. And he, you know, it's hard to comprehend. You think, wow, with all the billions of people on the earth, right?
Me. Why? Why?
Why me? You know, it's like I feel special. I feel, you know, singled out and I feel like he pays attention. And in the right moment, he says the right words that reach your heart. Like that day that you stood in that church and you heard that verse that has yes. stayed with you all of this time, Reverend.
Amen.
It was because he personally was speaking to you. And you don't forget those moments that you've experienced with God.
Not at all, because it's not like he called me and say that to me. He was addressing the entire congregation.
That's right. He didn't call you up and prophesy.
Yes. So how is it I thought he was talking to me? I don't think it's coincidence. The Lord had him there. Had me there. You see, everything has to line up. That's what God does. He lines up everything. And if we go back to Paul,
yes.
after he was struck And he says, Paul, Paul, you know, why are you persecuting me? And Paul said to him, who art thou, Lord?
Yeah, but imagine, he referred to him as Lord.
Who art thou, Lord? And then he had Ananias lined up, and then he had the one to take him. Then he lost his sight. And look at Paul. Look at the record of what he becomes.
He was amazing.
Everything was just lined up.
But that's what amazes me, is the plan was there. Mm-hmm. The plan for you to touch the lives that you have touched, Reverend Marlon, including mine. And I, you and I have spoken about this, and I'm not saying it because you're in front of me. There's purpose to all of us, you know, and that's the example that we're setting today, that we're not here by half a chance. We're not here by accident. We don't meet each other because it's coincidental, okay? We meet each other because God has a plan to fulfill in our lives. And I just want to just slightly deviate. In 2014, I got this thought this morning, Reverend Marlon, when I got up. Remember the first time God spoke to you? It was in 2014, and you were in front of a mall, mm-hmm. standing there, and there was a huge storm coming my way, okay, in Austin. And I heard distinctly God's voice when he said to me, your testimony will bring others to me.
Amen.
And it was the first time I ever heard from the Lord. I ran back in, sought my husband. I said, you wouldn't believe, I heard God today. Like, how do you know? I said, I don't know how I know. I just know. And then I'm trying to figure it out. And I know that you spoke of that in the church when you were going to attend the services. Not committing yet. You wanted to try out the waters. I get that too, you know, not fully committed because you were torn between a belief system that had been indoctrinated.
Exactly.
Okay. You believed everything, and it wasn't necessarily lies. These people believe that they walk in that.
Yes.
They may be completely wrong, but we are not there to change them. God is. Right?
Yes, he does. He doesn't. He doesn't. You will not be able to do that.
No, there's
You're
no.
You're not going to be able to change them.
No, it's not. I'm not. But I can remember when Thomas asked me, so how do you know? What did it sound like? And you're trying to articulate a divine thing into a human, you know, a human description. And I said, I can't, it wasn't male or female. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a human voice that I heard. But I know that I heard a voice.
Amen.
And see, Amen. That is the mystery that you delved into when you walked into God's house.
Amen.
That was a mystery. You were like, well, I need to know more about this. What's going on here? And how come they have tambourines? And why do they worship the way they do?
Right.
And in that process, Reverend Marlon, he was working on you.
Yes, he was.
Holding you.
Yes, he was.
He was shaping you. And I can tell you, you're a Bible study teacher, an incredible one. You are a preacher, a prophet, a healer. I know you've laid hands on people and they have been healed, Reverend Marlon. Whether it's mental, physical, or otherwise. You are a Paul in the human form of a woman. You walked that road of Damascus, and you suddenly found God in that process.
Amen. Amen.
And see, that's what we need to do. We need to decide to find God in our walk. And we're never the same. I mean, I'm not the same, Reverend Moore, that I was 10 years ago.
Oh, no.
Because once
there's growth every day, there's growth, there's the Holy Spirit. Because, sorry to interrupt you, Reverend Grace. Because if I may go back and say, since the pandemic, because the pandemic struck and we were not able to attend church services. Churches were closed, as a matter of fact.
Amen.
And then you were able to have Zoom, and there goes technology. And we were able to meet on Zoom. And what I was, you know, I thank God every day for that, that during that dark period, because it was, I had a knee.
That's right.
Transplant.
Yes.
It was, I couldn't do it in 2020 because they weren't doing that type of surgery at the time, or, you know, you have to really be sick and your condition depends on it for them to do surgery. So I had it done in 21.
Yes.
And I healed. It got better. There's a process. It got better. And then it suddenly buckled. It buckled in 22.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And I just can't understand why. But as I go through the process, and I said it to your face, and I'd like to say it on national TV, that God chose you for such a time as this, that you are Esther for such a time as this. And I attest to that, the fact that I couldn't go to church, and I could have just been satisfied with just listening to a Sunday service on YouTube. But during that time, we had Bible study, we had book club, we had prayer. So the only thing I miss was in person.
Yeah.
God has brought me, I have matured in such a way that I can't explain. I cannot explain. The Holy Ghost has been my teacher in a special way. And I just want to say thank you for your obedience to God. And even when churches were opened, I still couldn't go because my knee would not allow me to go.
I couldn't, yes.
Yes. And when I eventually it started swelling up that I couldn't walk on it. Yeah. When I went to the orthopedic surgeon, there were a lot of don'ts. No stairs, no bending.
Yes.
No squatting. And I have stairs in my house. I had to learn to walk a certain way.
Wow, Jesus.
And I had to ride the bike every day, starting from 5 minutes daily, increasing it every week by another 5 minutes, up to 35 minutes before I go back to him.
Wow.
And I'm still doing it now. I want to give glory to God that it is improving. I don't have to walk with a cane, but it still has a way to go.
Amen.
And to God be the glory.
That's right.
Yes. And I just thank him for your faithfulness because I've joined the prayer on Thursdays and we have seen.
Ooh, you got it.
Amen.
Yes. You've got to be there to see what God is up to, because that
Amen.
Is an amazing, amazing encounter. Every Thursday we meet, you don't know. People think they know God. No, he's a mystery. Every single time he teaches me something new about who, about his essential self, who he is and how he operates. And he's always chastising me. He says, you know, my ways are not yours.
Not at all.
My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And it humbles me to think that I know something and yet I don't know anything. I have been fascinated, Reverend Marlon, with your testimony of where you came from, how you journeyed from that moment of you thought you were right. Many people have their walks. We're not talking a person that was under a bridge and was a drug addict, which is an obvious act of rescue. Many of us are walking not in his aligned will and don't know it. And he's looking to align us to his will. Because at the end of the day, we're called to be disciples. We're called to take his word forth. So if we are not in alignment to his will, we ought to ask, Lord, how do we get aligned to your will? How do we please you? It's not even about salvation as much as it is about being in alignment to his will.
Amen.
Because we could, you know, I had an attitude before I came to Christ, Brother Marlon, when people would say, you want to go to, you know, Assemblies of God Church, you know, we had one in town. And I said, I don't need to go to church. I'm a good person. I don't drink. I don't party. I don't do anything wrong. Because we get that virtuous right in our own heads. Amen. Amen. I don't do anything wrong. Why do I need church? And boy, was I mistaken. Boy, did I learn this lesson that it's not about me. It's all about him.
Amen. It's all about him. It's all about him. I can attest to that over and over again. I can attest to that. And when we moved to Connecticut, because all that conversion happened in Brooklyn, and we were on fire. Talk about Holy Ghost in church. And when we moved to Connecticut, and the Lord kept on, I kept growing in the Lord and just wanting to do more for him. And so I was anointed or appointed as an evangelist. And then I came over to COG and I studied, do the course, do this exam, etc., and became an ordained minister of the Church of God.
Yes. And you have been for over 20 years.
Yes, I have been.
Yeah, and you're an amazing Bible study teacher, by the way. Amazing. Your knowledge of the word, I just sit and listen and be quiet. Be quiet when you are teaching. You have a careful reverence to the word of God, Reverend Wallace. Yes. And I'm coming from a person that's sitting there listening to you. We do meet every once a month on Blessed Keys through Zoom. We do meet for our Bible study, and you are our teacher. We're in Galatians right now. We just started Galatians. And anybody that's interested, that's listening to this podcast today, we welcome you to come and sit and listen to Reverend Marlon as she explains the Bible in a way that is understandable to us, that we can learn and glean from. So we welcome you to come to our Bible study. It's always the last Friday of the month. And if you're interested, just go to on our website. You can leave me a note. There's a way to contact us. And if you are already someone that I know, you can just email me or text me, and we'll send you the link and the notes, the Bible study notes that Reverend Marlon meticulously writes, by the way, that so that you can join in our discussions. Right, Reverend Marlon?
Yes. And for this month, it will be Friday coming. It's February, it's the 23rd. So.
Right. You're right. So it's this Friday we're going to have our Bible study. And we do meet every Friday, barring, you know, any incident. But we are very, very consistent with our Bible studies.
Yes.
And, you're more than welcome to join us there in our prayer on Thursdays. But I'm not trying to plug that. Right now I'm focused on Reverend Marlon and her testimony. And so what would you say, Reverend Marlon, in closing? What would you give as an advice to someone that maybe is sitting on the edge of a decision making or questioning? Sometimes we can sit there and just question. Am I satisfied? Some people are suffering under mental, duress with anxiety and fear, and they don't even know where to turn or how. What would you say to them, Reverend Marlon?
The scripture says to seek the Lord. And even the scripture in Jeremiah 29 that we quoted earlier, it says, for I know the thoughts or the plans, depends on the translation that you read, that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. didn't stop there. It said, then you will call upon me and go and pray, very important, to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So we have a part to play. We have to pray to God. He will answer you. Seek him. He will not answer in an audible voice to you. It will be impressed on your spirit what he wants you to do. But it's important because he said, if you call upon me and I will hear and I will answer and I will show you great and mighty things that you knew not of. So I would encourage you, don't give up. It's not a path of roses when you give your life to the Lord. If anybody tell you, oh, you won't have any more trouble, that's not true. We live in a real world, and real world conditions and things happen to Christians as well as non-Christians.
Amen.
But our channel is that we know in whom we believe. And so we keep calling upon him. And he says, if you call unto me, I will hear and I will answer and I will show you. So I encourage prayer, number one. You just have to keep on praying, not giving up. Persistent prayer. The Bible tells us about the persistent widow who kept on going to the king and asking the king a favor, and the king kept on ignoring her. And one point he said, because you keep on, one translation says, bothering me.
Yeah.
Because you keep on bothering me, I will listen to you. I will grant you your request. So we just have to keep on in prayer, calling out to God. And it doesn't mean that you have to go in a special closet and talk to God. I used to. My greatest time, God, when I was working was when I get around that wheel on my way to work, I would be, my eyes are open now. Let me tell you, you don't drive with your eyes closed.
Right.
But you have the best conversation with God.
Exactly.
And you talk to him. Talk to him as if you're talking with someone sitting next to you. It doesn't have to be an I, thee, thou. Talk to him as if you're sitting to someone next to you. Just tell him how you feel. What is going on with you? I need help, Lord. Can you help me? This is so and that is so. Because you know what? He already knows what you're going through. So when you come to him, it's you're saying, well, I know you know, Daddy, but I need your help. I cannot do this on my own. Please help me. And he will. I can say exactly how he will do it because he does it in different ways. He can send someone alongside of you, like Philip with the eunuch. When he was sent down, the eunuch was traveling along, reading from Isaiah the prophet. He didn't know what he was talking about. The Spirit says to Philip, draw alongside him. Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? He says, no. Of whom does this prophet speak? Of himself or some other person? And Philip was able to open to him that the prophecy of Isaiah was about Jesus. And after he understood, he said, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? So God has a way of drawing his people in different ways. And the Bible gives examples of that. So the way I came to him, my conviction, my conversion may be different from yours. But the bottom line is that he's gathering his people. We're in the end time. If ever there was a time when we should seek the Lord, it is now. Because we're in the end time and things are happening. And as Jehu, oh my Lord, Jehu said when he was going after Jezebel, he said, He was riding furiously to get her, and the men were upstairs with him, and he said, who is on the Lord's side? Who? Two or three men looked down, says the Bible, and said, throw her down.
Santo Dios.
And he rode over. So who is on the Lord's side? We need to just listen in these last days. Things are happening, but it's because it's coming is nearer than we think.
That's the truth, Reverend Mullen. That is the truth. Yeah. And that is the formula. Our formula is very simple, Reverend Mullen. Mm-hmm. Prayer, seek him. Yes. I mean, your verses were spot on. He is very simple, the way he's telling us. His message is simple. If you're walking on the road to Damascus and you are not on the right road, I'm going to bring people to you because I love you. I'm going to draw you to me, unto me. Pay attention. If you want to hear from God, speak to him.
Yes.
Seek him out. Like you, a lot of people, when I first started ministry, they would ask, well, how do you pray? And, you know, at first, the first time I got asked that question, it actually intimidated me. Because I actually said to myself, well, is there a formula that I'm not aware of? You know, and I got nervous. I thought, well, maybe I better be asking. And then suddenly I went through a trial, right? I was going through my cancer battle. And I remember somebody saying, just talk to him. Just talk to him. Because I'm like, well, am I supposed to know, you know, is there a certain way to yeah, of course we want to reverence Lord.
Yes, so, definitely.
You know, we're not going to come in here with, yo, and, you know, listen to me. You know, we can't be disrespectful. We're expected to not be disrespectful to all people. Imagine our God.
Amen.
Who is so worthy of our reverence and our exaltation. I just learned to say, you know what, Lord, I don't know if there is a way to pray to you, but I'd just rather talk. I'd rather talk to you. And then, because you see me anyway, you see my situation. And yes, there's moments where you can be in fellowship, intimate fellowship in your prayer time, where you cry to the Lord.
Amen.
Feel his comfort. And that's okay too. But there's no formula on how to communicate with God.
Amen.
And when you least expect it, you get knocked off a horse on your way to Damascus in your journey, and he teaches you along the way. That's all I feel like. The Lord just keeps teaching me something new every day, Reverend Mullen. Every day is a new opportunity for me to grow in him.
Amen.
I wish that on every single person that is listening to this podcast today. What would be your last words, Reverend Mullen, before we close in prayer?
Amen. Looking back at my experience, I think at Paul's conversion, the words that Jesus said, you know, it was hard to kick against the pricks. So when the Holy Spirit is wooing you, obey. Because had I not gone to the church that night, although I was so skeptical, and I just went to please my sister-in-law, said if I go, she won't bother me again. I just get her off my back.
Wow.
But I didn't know what God, the plans, thank you, Jesus, the plans that God had for me. That's how he wove it all in. If I was still in Jamaica, I doubt I would be a Pentecostal. Because wow. We'd have no, you couldn't tell me otherwise. But then that's why I said, because I'm at her house, I'll just go because she asked me, you know, she won't bother me anymore. So I go, you know, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. We don't go other churches. Why are you even inviting me? That was the first thing in my mind. And so I just go to get you off my mind. But I didn't know it was God's plan. I know now.
Amen.
So I would say the Spirit is drawing you, not whispering nonsense to you, because he doesn't do that.
No, he doesn't.
You got to obey. Or, you know, just go to him in prayer for clarity.
Amen.
Most all, we just have to pray to him.
And just
don't be afraid. The journey maybe is different. It's going to be different. Enjoy the journey, because he says, and I go back to what my conversion is based on, John 4, 23, 24. that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's my conviction today. And sometimes you may think I get real excited when I'm talking about the Lord. I do. Because I know where he brought me from. I know differently. I know who he is. I know, yes, he's Jehovah. Jehovah's Witness is based on, if you're not called, if you're not called Jehovah's Witness, then you're not of his. He is Jehovah, the Almighty God. He's the God of heaven and earth. He's sovereign God of the universe. Mm-hmm. He said in Exodus 6:3, and I appeared unto Abram, Isaac, and Jacob as God the Almighty, but by my name, Jehovah, was not known to them. Yes, his name is Jehovah. Yes, he's Jehovah. He's Jehovah Nissi. Amen. He's my banner. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. He is Jehovah Rapha when I'm sick. These are his qualities, his characteristics that he has. And because of experiences, he was called certain things. For example, Abraham called him Jehovah Jireh because he provided the ram when he was about to kill his son. And God said, Abraham, lay not your hand upon the lad. And he said, hey, look, and there was a ram caught in the thicket, because he's a provider. So he provides a ram. So don't think that, well, oh, I have to say Jehovah. His name is Jehovah, God Almighty. He is sovereign God of the universe. And it always, he's my Lord and Savior. Amen. When I was lost and undone without God or his son, yes, he came in and he rescued me.
Santo Dios.
He rescued me just like he did. And I know we're closing, but you get me excited now, Reverend Grace. Just like he did with the prodigal son.
Love it.
When the son goes, the Bible says, when he came to himself.
Wow.
He said, how many hired servants of my father? And I sit here, you know, and die for hunger. And when he was afar off, the father saw him, ran to him, kissed, met him on his shoulder, kissed him and said, this is my son that was lost, but he's alive again. Oh, he was dead and he's alive again. So he will welcome you just as a prodigal son. Welcome the prodigal father. Welcome his son. So may you have that experience today.
Yes.
You're listening. May you know that God loves you. He loves you and he's wooing you today. And if you feel the drawing of the Holy Spirit, do not resist him. Go to him. Surrender to him. Be like that prodigal boy. He had all that he had, all his father had. He left it and he went out. Didn't work for him. He suffered. But the Bible says, remember this, when he came to himself. So yes, we have to come and realize that we are in need of Jesus Christ. We have to come to ourselves. When he came to himself, he says, what am I doing here? I need help. What am I? Who is going to help me but my father? And he said he went back home to his father. His hands are outstretched today, welcoming you home. Yes. Don't you resist him and don't you delay.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Reverend Mullen, it has been an honor to have you on. I will invite you back.
Amen.
We have plenty to talk about, Reverend Mullen. So much to so much ground to cover in the future, Reverend Mullen. I'm looking forward to just conversing with you, coming on the podcast, just doing what you do best, which is to speak God's word forth with conviction and with clarity. And I just am honored to know you. And I invite you back. We're going to schedule something so you can come in and you can give a word on this podcast and you can, you know, talk to us, Reverend Mullen, because we are always in need of a good talking to. Amen. So I'm going to have you, I think you have some verses that you wanted to say, or did you already?
We did them. I did. One was Jeremiah, which I just did. The other one is Isaiah 55.
Yeah, I want that one. You to say that one before we close. And then could you close us out in prayer, Reverend Marlon?
Yes.
Thank you again for being here. Thank you again for blessing us with our with your wonderful testimony of how you found the Lord on your way, on your journey to heaven. Because that's what I'm thinking. We're all walking each other home, like Ruth likes to say. I just want to say hi to Ruth and Lily and my cousin Evelyn, who came on, and Saida Casciano from Center of Life Church. Christy Calloway is here today. And I just want to thank you for supporting this ministry. Please come and share this podcast. It'll be on YouTube in a little bit, in an hour or so. Jose will put it up on YouTube. Share. Let us spread this gospel out to those that need it. Amen. Reverend Wallen.
Amen. I'll just read Isaiah and then I pray. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. O righteous and eternal Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before your presence. We just want to thank you, Lord God, that you are sovereign God of the universe. We thank you for today. We thank you for the shared words, Father God. I pray at this very moment that you touch the hearts of someone listening, and as they share it, Father God, that they will understand, as you said in Isaiah, that your thoughts, my thoughts, it's not like ours, nor your ways, our ways, because the heavens, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are your ways higher than my ways. Draw us, we pray. May the Holy Spirit woo us. May we feel that wooing, that tugging. We may be wondering what is going on. I don't understand how I feel, but let us just turn to you in prayer. Just ask you to come into our hearts, Father God, and to save us, change us, Father God. The word says, if we believe, my God, that you died for us, that you came, you died, and you returned, Father God. You said, because of this conviction, we know that you are Savior, and let's accept you as such. We give it honor, glory, and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. We will be back here next Tuesday for our podcast at 10 a.m. We welcome each and every one of you to come, share, let people know about it, and come and also join us for our book club on our Bible study for this Friday coming up. Reverend Marlon will be teaching from Galatians. Amen. Thank you again for being here. We love you, and we'll see you next Tuesday at 10 a.m. on Voices.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you again, Reverend Marlon.
God bless you, Reverend.